I'd like to start off by thanking Pastor Peter for the opportunity to share the word with you these last couple of Sundays. It has not only been enlightening to me to dive in and to be more involved with the scriptures from week to week, but I want to thank you also for not throwing me out the door. I want to thank you also for inspiring me to continue to find a place where I can serve our Savior and our God. I also would like to thank the support staff of Burns as we go through worship from Sunday to Sunday. I'd like to thank Barb Shaw. I'd like to thank Mark Doctor, Mike Sumrall, Ellen Doctor, who is not present today, but she plays a big part with our live streaming with the video camera. And all of you, I want to thank my wife, Paya, for being supportive of my journey through this life of Christianity. It's commonly said that behind every man stands a good woman. But Paya, she stands beside me. She doesn't stand behind me. So I am thankful for that. Today's gospel reading, taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, is Matthew's account referring to the story when Jesus raised a young girl from the dead, as we heard, and as he healed the sick woman. Now, this same story also appears in both the Gospel of Mark and also in the Gospel of Luke. So today I will be cross-referencing between these three Gospels, as Mark and Luke's account of this story is a bit more elaborate compared to Matthew's account. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a young elementary school-aged boy living in Hawaii, I was a faithful follower of the 3-second rule. You know, you're snacking on favorite bag of chips, and one of those chips happens to fall onto the floor. And the belief is that as long as that chip is not on the floor for more than 3 seconds, that chip remains an eligible candidate for consumption. As a child, I had full faith and belief for that chip to be clean enough to eat. I would not call this blind faith. I would lean toward the classification of a child's innocent naivety. But let's look at the case of the unclean woman. For 12 years, this woman, whose name does not appear anywhere in the Bible, is suffering from female-associated hemorrhaging, bleeding. We all know that during the time of Jesus, having this particular ailment of being regarded as unclean would have put you in what we call today self-isolation. Remember that from COVID? That is what this woman endured for 12 years. According to Luke's account, all of this woman's financial resources exhausted, depleted, after paying doctor after doctor for failed attempt after failed attempt to end her malady. Also, let's not lose sight of the physical implications associated with this outrageously extensive 12-year-long span of losing blood. Chronic fatigue, persistent dizziness, just to name a few. Then there is also the mental anguish that comes when your friends, that comes when your neighbors shun and ostracize you. The poor woman was deemed a societal outcast. No one wants to be near her. Nobody wants any type of involvement with this woman. Then on the other end of the spectrum, let's look at the man from today's scripture who asked Jesus to lay his hand on his daughter so that she may live. We know from Mark's account, the man's name is Jairus. Jairus is one of the leaders of the synagogue. He is an upstanding, well-respected, and even looked-up-to member of his community. Complete opposite end of the spectrum from the sick lady. Jairus lived a comfortable, a resource-full life. And to add to that, there is no mention of Jairus having any type of health issues. Now, there are two common threads that connects these two worldly opposites. Despite their differences, their first connection is their faith. Their shared belief, their shared hope that Jesus Christ was the only remaining option. This is an example of two extremes coming together as they both come to Jesus. Second, Jairus and the woman were connected by their desperation. Their shared desperation was beyond themselves. Neither Jairus or the woman had the means, neither one of them had the resources nor the ability to get what they were so desperately seeking under their own power. They couldn't do it on their own. So they both went to Jesus. One of the things that came to mind in preparation for this sermon was the touch of the cloak. As Jesus walked by the sick woman, did she just reach out and brush the back of her hand along his cloak? Did she grab the cloak and give it a little tug? Or did she touch the cloak in the way you or I would swipe our phones? Or did she use the premise of my childhood 3-second rule? Have you ever been late to work? I have. late to a meeting, or late to a Nuggets game. Hopefully you're not late to the Nuggets game. You are running late. You get on the interstate, and initially traffic is running smooth. But as you scoot through the south end of Castle Rock, your approach to the Gap construction project is met with increased traffic congestion that eventually results in a literal crawl as all traffic gets funneled into a single lane. Does this sound familiar for anybody? This is where you feel helpless. This is where the hopelessness sets in, as you are stuck for what feels like eternity. Perhaps this is how Jairus felt when his attempt to hastily bring Jesus to his dying daughter was slowed by the large mob of people that eventually stopped for the healing of the unclean woman. I will share with you an excerpt from Luke chapter 9. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the home of Jairus to say, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble Jesus any longer." When Jesus heard this, Jesus replied, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be saved." When they arrived at the home of Jairus, Jesus put the mourners out, told the instrument players to leave, go outside. Jesus went in, took the girl by the hand, and the girl got up and was alive. Do you remember my mentioning the two common threads that connect the woman and Jairus earlier? The first one being their faith. The second common thread that they shared was their desperation. Let me introduce you to a third commonality. They shared restoration. Restoration of spirit, restoration of body, restoration of life. Brothers and sisters, you see, when we rely completely on our own ability, when we rely on our own wisdom, when we believe that, "Oh yes, I've got this figured out," when you think you can do it all by yourself, there will come a point in time, there will come a point in your life that you realize, "I am dead. I am bleeding." That is who we are in today's gospel lesson. We are the woman. We are Jairus. We are the girl. Through today's text, we are blessed with the understanding that Jesus is readily accessible. Jesus is readily available. He is touchable. And he reaches out to touch others. Jesus is also impartial. The status of the woman, as well as the status held by Jairus, made no difference to Jesus. Jesus openly ministered to them both. You see, faith is putting your trust in someone and relying on that person or that something. Surrendering your anxiety, surrendering your hopelessness, conceding to Jesus and saying to him, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Brothers and sisters, let us follow the example of the woman and Jairus, putting complete faith in Jesus and relying only on him to deliver us from desperation to restoration for his glorification. Amen.